All right. Hi, welcome back, Attorney Steve Vondran. We're talking about deep fake litigation. All right. So now, okay, everybody knows that artificial intelligence is booming. And one of the capabilities of artificial intelligence is to swap faces, is to put your face on somebody else's body to create fake advertisement. Tom Hanks was just a victim of that. They created a fake dental ad pretending that he was endorsing, or he was the actor endorsing the dental company. So things are getting crazy. I think politicians are getting a little nervous because, of course, everybody likes to do memes and make fun of politicians and everything else. That's a highly protected First Amendment activity. But people are getting a little bit nervous because this is coming to hit home on some celebrities and politicians and everything else. And you know, in states like California and New York, you have what's called a right of publicity. And that's where nobody can use your name, image, or likeness for commercial gain without your consent. And if they do that, you have a cause of action. And there are other states as well. I'm just pointing out California and New York, where entertainment business is huge. They've had laws in place for many, many years protecting celebrities. And even in California, they protect celebrities and non-celebrities. So that just applies to people as what we call the right of privacy. And so, you know, people can sue for a violation of their right of publicity and somebody using their name, image, and likeness for commercial gain. And there are exceptions. There are exceptions for news and broadcasting, public affairs, public issues. But Congress is now contemplating and actually have put pen to paper to create a proposed law on basically what they're looking at is a potential federal right of publicity, and they are calling it, hold your breath here, this is a long one, we gotta love it, the Nurture Originals, Foster Art, and Keep Entertainment Safe Act of 2023. Let me repeat that. Nurture Originals, Foster Art, and Keep Entertainment Safe Act of 2023. If you look at the first letter of each of those, they will come up with the No Fakes Act of 2023. No fakes. They don't like fakes, okay? So we had fake news. Now we have fake everything, fake endorsements. Like I said, there is fake porn. There's deep fake porn, which uses the face of celebrities and others to promote pornography. So it puts people in a kind of a negative light, harm to their reputation, tarnishing of their name and their brand and whatnot. So I think Congress is getting a little worried that it's coming home to the politicians. And, you know, of course, you can't do that. That's when you start finding the bipartisan efforts that they're talking about, where the two parties come together, the Democrats and the Republicans. So that's what we're talking about in this podcast. Let's take a quick overview of it. Again, this is not set in stone. This is proposed, but it looks like it will probably have a lot of support from both sides. And that's when a law gets passed, assuming the president signs it, of course. So what's prohibited? Here's what the current version of the law says. Any person that in any manner affecting interstate or foreign commerce, and whenever you have a federal law, it has to deal with interstate or foreign commerce. That's how you make it federal. Or using any means or facility of interstate or foreign commerce, engages in an activity described in paragraph 2, shall be liable in a civil action brought under subsection D as in donuts for any damages sustained by the individual or rights holder injured as a result of activity. We'll get to the damages in a second. So there's two things currently prohibited. A, the production of a digital replica of a person without consent, or B, the publication, distribution, or transmission of, or otherwise making available to the public an unauthorized digital replica if the person engaging in the activity, underline here, has knowledge that the digital replica was not authorized. So there is some talk that this can apply to platforms like Facebook or Instagram, YouTube, any places that post these kinds, distribute and transmit, make available to the public. So this will be interesting. So if a platform has knowledge that the digital replica was not authorized, it looks like they could be held liable as well. So it's not just the production, the distribution and making available is what is currently scheduled here. All right, what's the potential remedies if somebody violates this? What can a plaintiff sue for? All right, let's take a look. It looks like, number one, you can get $5,000 per violation. Well, I would assume there would only be one violation, so that's only $5,000, not huge. But let's take a look at or any damages suffered by the injured party. So it's $5,000 or any damages suffered. I guess if you're someone like Tom Hanks and you could bring in an expert to show that your image and reputation has been downgraded, maybe there's a way to make a claim for damages. It's kind of like defamation where it's often called the tort of the rich and famous because to prove your damages, only really famous people can find it a little bit easier to show their damages. Now, there's exceptions to that as well, and I have blogs on defamation if you want to read them. At any rate, those are your damages. But I like this one better, as a plaintiff anyway, in the case of a willful violation, and I would think most cases would be willful. How do you do a deep fake or make available a deep fake with the knowledge that it was not authorized? How can you do that other than willful? It would seem like in most cases it would be willful as opposed to innocent. But if you can prove willful and show that the other party acted with malice, fraud, or oppression, out to get you kind of thing, I'll show them, or wait till they see this, that kind of thing, willful and malice, fraud, and oppression, you can seek punitive damages. Now that's getting potentially juicy. Punitive damages, what we call ring the bell, we call it, and the court may award to the prevailing party, so this is a two-way attorney fee clause, whoever wins, reasonable attorney fees. So even if you have a smaller violation, you can't show the willful, and it's $5,000 per violation, and you get your attorney fees, or actual damages and your attorney fees, even if you can't get the punitive damages, at least you can be able to hire attorneys that may be willing to take your case on a contingency fee basis. Therefore, it gives you a route to rectify the wrongs, okay? So statute of limitations right now, it's set at 3 years. It's called the date of discovery. 3 years from the date you discovered or with reasonable diligence should have discovered the violation. That's pretty generous. Defense is not permitted. It shall not be a defense. Here's two things that they have. You say this will not be a defense if you're a defendant. One, if you displayed or otherwise communicated a disclaimer stating that the applicable digital replica was not authorized. So if you put, hey guys, I made this video, just a disclaimer here, this was not authorized, that's not going to be a defense for a defendant. And if you have, the second one is, if you try to argue, I did not participate in the creation, development, distribution, or the dissemination of the applicable digital replica, that's not a defense either, okay? Who are eligible plaintiffs? May be brought by an individual, the image, voice, or visual likeness of whom is used. Voice means you artists. There was a case with artists that they were reproducing their sound and creating fake music videos. So this is, this is going to blow up. Fake music videos, they can sue. That's your name, image, and likeness, your voice. That is what we call the right of publicity. So if that's being used, no other exceptions apply, then you should be good to go. Any person, number B, any person that owns or control the rights with an exclusive license to the image, voice, or visual likeness of another are eligible plaintiffs. So that means if you represent artists and you have one of the exclusive rights of the artist, what we call the bundle of rights, you hold an exclusive license to that, then you could be an eligible plaintiff as well. And finally, in the case of a digital replica involving a sound recording artist, any person that has entered into a contract for the exclusive personal services of the sound recording artist as a sound recording artist. So those are your eligible plaintiffs. What type of replicas are excluded? Okay, so here's the other thing to keep in mind. when we're talking about making images and videos that are fake, there is an element of First Amendment, okay? People have the right to speak things, speak freely, especially on politics. And maybe this is why Congress is looking to enact a potential federal right of publicity law and to put a little teeth into it with attorney fees clause. But there are some things that are not going to be, you're not going to be able to hold people liable. And here's where, you know, we call sometimes that the exceptions can swallow up the rule, okay? Some of the exceptions as currently drafted is the applicable digital replica is used as part of news, public affairs, or sports broadcast. So that's interesting. News, well, that is at public affairs. That seems to cover political things. So if you're making political replicas without authorization, deep fake, political fakes, is that going to exclude you from liability? Possibly. If it's used as part of a documentary, docudrama, or historical or biographical work, that could be excluded from liability. So you can put it in a movie, something factual, you intend to be factual, and I guess somehow you would insert a fake replica somehow. So don't ask me exactly how that works, but also highly protected First Amendment activity. And use of a representation of an applicable individual as that individual. I'm not quite sure what that means either. I guess you're using a deep fake and you're using an individual, but you're using it as that individual. You can figure that one out for me. Send me a text or a comment if you figure that one out. Comment, criticism, scholarship, satire, and parody. If you're using digital replica for comment, criticism, scholarship, satire, or parody, that sounds a whole lot like federal fair use law that protects these types of activities from being held liable. Okay, so that's a big one. And what do we have? Two more. D, the applicable digital replica is used in an advertisement or commercial announcement for a purpose described in A, B, or C. Again, I don't know how that's going to work. Or E, the use of applicable digital replica is de minimis or incidental. So you're only doing a flash or a quick small piece or a quick short piece or something like that. So there you have it, guys. This is a proposed law. It's not on the books. I do think they're working hard maybe to get this passed this year. We will find out. But what do you guys think? Is this a good law? Is this something that will help spread disinformation and misinformation and fake information? You tell me. So thanks for listening, guys. This is general legal information only and not legal advice. Feel free to share this podcast on your social media networks. If you need legal help, you know where to find us on the web at attorneysteve.com. That's attorneysteve.com, the first name in legal services. Thanks for listening. I got to run. Have a great evening. Bye now.